Wild Bill and Calamity Jane are here, and now so are you. From Deadwood, South Dakota, this is the Real Deadwood Podcast with Paul Dennis.
And this is Paul Dennis. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 14 of the Real Deadwood Podcast, a variety show from the Real Deadwood in the Black Hills of South Dakota for fans of the award-winning HBO Deadwood series all over the world, combining interviews, entertainment, and news from both Deadwoods. And the good news, of course, to report is that Deadwood will continue on beyond the third season, which is starting on June the 11th, Sunday night. It was, of course, pushed back from last March when it was originally scheduled to start. Things are looking up because from all the reports and the reviews I've seen, the third season is going to be fantastic. And, of course, if you're a true fan of Deadwood and you've been paying attention to things, you know that it looked for a while there that like this was going to be the last season of Deadwood, and that David Milch was not going to get a chance to finish the storyline that he had started with season one 2 years ago. But powers that be at HBO have decided to allow David to finish the story with two-hour TV movies. So rather than have a 12-episode fourth season, and then they offered David Milch a six-episode fourth season, and he turned that down. But now instead we're going to have two-hour TV movies. Now a lot of people are saying, but he turned down 6 hours worth of show, but he accepted 4 hours worth of show. And the explanation that you see in all the articles, and if there are a couple of them right there on the realdeadwoodpodcast.com homepage, the explanation is that the current format of the Deadwood TV show is that every episode of Deadwood is one whole day, like a day in the life, the same way that every episode of 24 is 1 hour, one of the 24 hours of the day. So, supposedly Milch was not able to finish the story properly in just 6 days, which the six episodes would have represented. But when you're doing a movie and you completely depart from the 1 hour format of a regular TV show, you can, of course, in a movie, time can be played around with as much as you want, basically. And he can skip ahead a week or skip ahead a month or skip, you know, ahead as far as he wants, basically. And, so he thought that having a movie like that would actually be more flexible, as far as the timing is concerned. So, he thinks he can do a good job and finish up the show pretty much the way he wanted to. Doing two-hour movies like that. Of course, the marketing of it is going to be so much easier now for HBO. Instead of coming out with season four DVDs, just like they did for the, which they ultimately will for season three, obviously, but season two and season one, we have a big box with like six, DVDs in there. Season four will just be basically two DVDs, two movie DVDs, just like you would get, rent or buy. And so that will be a lot cheaper to buy that, obviously, and I think HBO thinks they might be able to sell quite a few more of those. So anyway, that's the story there. Of course, we thank everyone and your efforts for making your voice heard to the powers that be at HBO. We had ads in Variety and SaveDeadwood.net, SaveDeadwood.tv, HBO No Mo. And I think that we definitely made a difference. There were lots of articles written about how the fans were up in arms and how the fans were rallied to the cause to save Deadwood. And I think that we definitely made a difference. So congratulations. And again, thanks to everyone who participated in all that. Now let's talk about today's show. Now, of course, the last show, episode 13, was a Save Deadwood show, and it was dedicated to talking with some of the actors and finding out how the decision at the time, which we thought would be to cancel the show after three seasons, how that was going to affect them personally and professionally. But and actually, I have some more interviews that I had done to do another show just like that for episode 14 and talk some more about the impact on the actors and stuff. But since the announcement of these two-hour TV movies, there's no need to get into that, so I am back to my normal format here for the Real Deadwood Podcast, which is the anywhere from five to seven minute snips of a bunch of different things, just to keep the ball rolling and just to keep the variety moving. So Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to conclude the series that we had started already with the Deadwood TV actors on the Sirius Satellite Radio Show, Outlaw 36. And this is part four of that, and this will be the conclusion of that. And if you heard on episode 13 when I talked to Earl Brown and to Jerry Jewell and actually to Leah and to Ashley, they all participated in the latest version of the Outlaw show on Sirius Satellite, and those are going to be on Sirius Satellite, I believe it's the Saturday before each episode. And then they'll kind of talk about what's coming up on the episodes, but then they'll also sort of be able to talk about, you know, what happened the episode before. Because obviously, even though they did these all, they did 12 shows in 3 days, but of course they know what happened in each episode, even before they air, because, you know, they were there. So that'll be kind of a cool thing if you get Sirius Satellite Radio, and I will try again to get recordings of that to put here on the show. Okay, so after that one, and by the way, in that is John Hawkes, who is plays Saul Starr in this one, not the ones that are going to be on in the future, but the one you're going to hear today. John Hawkes, who plays Saul Starr, who will be here in the real Deadwood in just a couple weeks. Earl Brown, who plays Dan Doherty, who will also be here. Of course, their two bands will be playing for what we call here Wild Bill Days. I'm going to be hopefully talking to them, getting some video with them, and kind of hanging out with them and having some fun. Okay, and then we're going to also, in this Sirius Satellite thing, is Paula Malcolmson, who plays Trixie, Sean Bridgers, who plays Johnny Burns, and Dayton Callie, who plays Charlie Utter. So after that, it's going to be an interview, another conversation with my wife, Mary Kopko, who's the director of the Adams Museum and House, who have supplied David Milch with research for the show for 3 years now. And she is, again, on the special features DVD for season two there, the same as she was with season one. And actually, I'm on the special features DVD too this time, kind of accidentally, actually, because there was a recording session at the Melody Ranch where they shoot the Deadwood series when my wife and I were out there a year ago. David Milch invited us to this recording session of all these hot bluegrass players, and they were recording the music for the wedding, which was episode 12 of season 2, The Boy the Earth Talks To. And so they show on the special features a little bit of that recording session, and when they take a shot from behind the band looking sort of toward what you might call the audience, you can see me standing in the background watching the guys recording the music and everything, watching their flat panel Apple Macintosh monitors and stuff there. There I was, you know, interested in all that, so I'm kind of there with my arms crossed. What I'll do is put a screen capture of that on the website and kind of circle myself. You'll be able to see me standing back there. David Milch is laying on the floor. That's what he does. He has a bad back when he's writing. Or whenever there's an extended period of time, they have a mat that they set down on the floor for him, and he kind of lays on the floor there. And you'll see Earl Brown's wife, Carrie, who will be here in a couple weeks too, and their daughter, Anna. So, that's kind of a fun thing there. So anyway, in this conversation with Mary, we're going to talk about, George Hurst's Home State Gold Mine. And then after that is going to be my conclusion of my interview with Marilee Rush, from the Cool Deadwood Nights, and she's just a very interesting and very talented and funny lady, and I'll be talking to her. And then we're finally going to bring to a close our Mount Moriah Cemetery sound seeing tour with my son Alex. Now the cemetery is only so big, and there are only so many graves in there, so we finally got to the end of the line there, and so we'll be starting another sound seeing tour. And within the next couple of episodes, I'll be going into town and we'll be doing some sound seeing tours with some of the other attractions here in Deadwood. After that, we're going to have the first part of an interview with Tom and Nyla Griffith. And they run TDG Communications, which is an ad agency here in town. And also Nyla Griffith is a Deadwood City Commissioner. So they've got some interesting things to talk about Deadwood. And she has some nice things to talk about as far as the city government is concerned. So that'll be part one of that. We do have some listener feedback to talk about after that, some nice emails that I've gotten, and some links to some various blogs around. And then we're going to announce the contest winner of the Deadwood mug. And then we're going to, you know, kick off another contest for the month of June. Because as I said, I have three mugs, and so this was the first one that we'll be giving away today.
And I still have two more, one for the month of June and one for the month of July.
So let's get started right now with the conclusion of the series here of the Deadwood TV Actors on Sirius Satellite Radio, Outlaw 36.
And this particular little segment starts out with the song by Earl Brown, Silver Dollar Saloon. And actually, it's the conclusion of the song because in episode 12, I only played half of it at the end of the little segment that I did. So I had played a song by John Hawks, and then I played the first, I guess it's probably the first two-thirds, you might say, of this song. And so here's the last third of it, and then running into the conclusion of this particular segment. So here we go.
Came a time her heart was reft. Cried the tears of the off-bereft. She killed herself, but she never left. The ghost of a whore walks the floor of the Silver Dollar Saloon. Passions unleashed of the long deceased echo through the Silver Dollar Saloon. The ghost of a whore walks the floor.
And that was Sacred Cowboys with Silver Dollar Saloon.
Hey, Earl wrote that song.
Anyway, I got a little funny story I got to tell. My friend Steve Earle, I was out at his place a few years ago, and he knew that I played music. He knew that I played a guitar, but not that I had a band. And he goes, you know what I hate? I fucking hate an actor with a guitar around his neck who thinks he's a musician. I mean, how goddamn big's your ego got to be? And not 5 minutes later, he says, you know, I was talking to David Simon. I'm trying to figure it out so we can get up there and shoot season two of The Wire. But you know, with this touring schedule, I just don't know how we're going to work it out. And he caught himself, and his ears got all red. And I said, hey, you don't have to feel embarrassed. It's the same thing.
I'll tell him a story, as you said before, Earl.
John, when are you going to start a band?
Well, I started a band, and I think we could have been huge. I could have been a huge, huge rock star, if not for a profound lack of talent.
Hey,
really? That's the only thing that held me back.
Did you see the Grammys this year? It doesn't stop a lot of
it stopped me. That tells you how bad I suck.
Well, this leads us to another block of songs. These are songs about living hard.
Right. We're going to take a little piece of the Deadwood soundtrack here. You're about to hear Keith Carradine and our own right here in the studio, Dayton Cali, for this next piece. Deadwood, HBO, Sunday nights.
Woohoo!
Watch it.
Some goddamn time. Man's due to stop arguing with himself. Feeling he's twice the goddamn fool he knows he is. Because he can't be something he tries to be every goddamn day without once getting to dinner time and not fucking it up. I don't want to fight it no more. Understand me, Charlie? And I don't want you pissing in my ear about it. Can you let me go to hell the way I want to? Yeah. I can do that.
This is Outlaw 36. For the last couple of hours, you've been listening to the cast of HBO's Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Earl Brown. I play Dan Doherty.
I am John Hawks. I play Saul Starr.
I'm Sean Bridgers. I play Johnny Burns.
I'm Dayton Cali. I play Charlie Utter.
I'm Paula Malcolmson, and I play Trixie. Ooh.
This has been the Gunslingers, Gold Diggers, and Cocksuckers Radio Review.
That's right.
I'm a gunslinger.
I'm a gold digger. I'm a gold digger. If you're a gold digger, how can I be a gold digger?
I'm a moron.
No, you know.
I'm a cocksucker.
Hey, first step's admitting it.
Hey.
Nice to take pride in your work.
Thank you very much.
For those of you folks that already know, and for those of you that don't, our soundtrack, which a few of the songs we've played for you and the snippets of dialogue are on that soundtrack, is available on Lost Highway. Mm-hmm. And
I sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat on that album.
Me too.
Yes, you, gosh, do. You do.
I do. You said you couldn't.
If we sell 1 million copies, you get a platinum record.
Oh, yeah, right.
And 10 cents.
There you go. So remember, folks, the show is Deadwood.
HBO.
Sunday nights.
This is our last block of songs. And these are three of Artists for the Ages. A song by Guy Clark, a song by Billy Joe Shaver, and a song by Johnny Cash.
There you go.
We'll see you, folks.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
I don't have the patience for this fucking bullshit. I have had a tough fucking day.
And that's it for some more fun with the Deadwood actors. Next up is Mary, and she's going to be telling us some more about the Homestake Gold Mine, which was founded by George Hurst, who figures very, very prominently in season 3. So here we go.
Homestake was very conscious of its own history, its own importance. And that comes into play with the Homestake Adams Research Center, because when Homestake was closed, Carl Burke, who works for Barrick, was brought in to shut down the mine. And one of the things that he had to figure out what to do with was this incredible collection of records. It's phenomenal. It's over 10,000 cubic feet, which I know is kind of hard to get your head around, but it's all the original drawings of the mine, hand-drawn. It's all the letters, correspondence between George Hurst and J.B. Hagen and all the water rights, over 20,000 original photographs and glass negatives. Room after room is filled, floor to ceiling, with documents that lay out the whole history, not only of the Homestake Mine, but of the communities of Deadwood Lead. And also, something else that was going on in Homestake was that Ray Davis came to the Homestake, I think in the 50s or 60s, and he did experiments trying to detect solar neutrinos. And he was able to detect them, and he won a Nobel Prize. So when they closed the mine down, the National Science Foundation, I don't know who contacted who first, but in any event, it was proposed that perhaps the Homestake mine be converted into a place to study neutrinos and to conduct all kinds of scientific experiments.
So maybe we should just explain that neutrinos are atomic particles that exist in the universe or whatever, and the only way you can detect them is to filter out all the other stuff that they're kind of mixed in with, and the best way to do that is actually to use the crust of the Earth, because neutrinos can penetrate right anything. They mm-hmm. they can shoot right through right. the Earth, apparently. And mm-hmm. so the further down in the Earth you are, the actual crust of the Earth catches everything and allows these neutrinos to zip through. And so that's what they need, is something the deeper the better to allow everything else to get stopped by the Earth's crust, and only the neutrinos to come through, is the way I understood it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. That was a much better explanation than I could ever have given. In any event, the state of South Dakota has been really putting together a very strong case as to why Homestake can be utilized for this purpose. And right now, Homestake and another mine in Colorado are in the running to be considered as deep underground science and engineering laboratories. It's called
the
Doozle.
Yep.
The Doozle. But the state of South Dakota did something pretty remarkable last year, in that the governor committed millions of dollars to begin offering scientific experiments the 4850 level, which is where Ray Davis did his neutrino experiments. And in early April, the deal was struck between Barrick donated the mine to the state of South Dakota.
And now, there had been big negotiations because Barrick didn't want to get stuck with lawsuits and environmental claims because who knows, God knows what all, there's a lot of byproducts and a lot of waste and everything that had accumulated for, like you say, 126 years. And so what, they wanted all kinds of indemnification and lots of documents signed saying, now, if anything gets found, we're not responsible. And at first they said what, that they would only donate it when the government, the federal government, made its final choice and chose the Homestake as the federal site. But now my understanding is that the state decided, you know what, let's just open our own private laboratory. We'll just go ahead and open it up and not wait for the feds. And then if the feds decide to use the Homestake, we've got a head start because we've already started developing it on our own nickel.
Right. And it, I think the case is very strong because Homestake is no longer an operating mine. And so you won't have miners interfering with scientists. So it's pretty amazing project, and I'm
you've toured it, right? Did they take you down any of the shafts or anything?
I was offered the opportunity.
You had to put a hard hat on for some of the stuff you did, right?
Yeah, I was offered the opportunity to go into the mine, but you're
a little on the claustrophobic side.
I'm a lot on the claustrophobic side. But
a lot of other town dignitaries have had the grand tour.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
Put their hard hats on and go down deep.
Right.
And one of those town dignitaries will be coming up a little bit later in the show, Nyla Griffith, who is a city commissioner. And I believe she said that she did go down and take the tour of the Homestake Mine. So we'll be hearing from her a little bit later.
Hey, this is Earl Brown from HBO's Deadwood. I play Dan Doherty. But now I'm on the Real Deadwood podcast with Paul.
And Earl Brown's been on just about every Real Deadwood podcast. And don't forget, if you're new to the Real Deadwood podcast, make sure you go back and listen to all the episodes, starting with episode number one, because they don't expire, they don't get old. Make sure you catch up on all the Real Deadwood podcasts, and I believe you'll be able to count how many of them Earl Brown is in, and I think it's pretty much just about all of them. Now let's hear some music from my next guest, and then we'll hear part four of my interview with her.
Maybe the sun's light will be dim, and it won't matter anyhow. If morning's echo says we've sinned, well, it was what I wanted now. And if we're victims of the night, I won't be blinded by the light. Just call me angel of the morning, angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me angel of the morning, angel. Then slowly turn away. Thank you.
Just call her Angel of the Morning. Now, if you have not heard episode 12 yet, which is the one before last, of course, the last one was our Save Deadwood one, but the one before that, episode 12, Marilee Rush tells how she came to record that song, Angel of the Morning. So check it out.
Well, you know what's weird is I don't know if I was the only one, but I you know, because your song came out during the sort of the British invasion, I always thought you were like British. I always thought of Marilee Rush as being like, and, but you didn't have an accent or anything, but then a lot of British acts sing with American accents, so you could, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a giveaway. But for some reason, I always thought of Marilee Rush as being some British bird, you know, or whatever it is. And to find out, you know, reading the bios for this, that you're from, you know, Seattle, home of grunge, you know, who knew that would eventually be another huge influence on music, you know, that whole grunge scene.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. It was, grunge was not pretty, you know, when it was going on, but it did contribute something that is going on now, like bands with like Green Day and so I like what grunge brought to the table. Mm-hmm. Not grunge per se, but the effect it had on some of the acts that are out there now.
Unlike
like
rap.
She Hates Me.
Oh yeah,
that song, She Hates Me.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Now there's a grunge like.
You know what? You can say that out loud on this.
I can.
Yeah, say it.
She fucking hates me.
There you go. See, that's one of the big attractions of this whole podcasting thing is it's not being broadcast. You know, it's a sound file that's on the internet that somebody can download. In fact, some of the most popular podcasts, what they call podcasts because of this iPod thing, that's all it is insanity, profanity, kind of. A lot of it is sort of just stream of consciousness, people just ranting and raving. Have you had a chance to see anything or go anyplace here in town?
No, you know, it's rare that I... Well, I have a 3:50 flight out of Rapid City tomorrow.
Oh, geez. Well, it's too bad you couldn't at least get to my wife's museum over here, the Adams Museum. It's like a block. It's towards the end of the street here and then like a block over. You know, there's tons of stuff to do there and some fascinating... There's geological, there's Indian, there was a huge Chinese influence in Deadwood. At one point, Deadwood had the largest Chinese population east of San Francisco.
Why?
During the gold rush. They all came here to basically take care of the miners. They ran the laundries and the restaurants, and there were a lot of prostitutes. There was a whole Chinese Chinatown section of Deadwood, a lot of opium. And that kind of and a lot of, and that's portrayed in the TV show. What you ought to do is you ought to go ahead. You have a DVD player, right?
Yeah.
Go get the first season DVDs. It's only about seven.
So they replicated this town
very, very accurately. It's on the Gene Autry Ranch in Santa Clarita, California. Yeah. And my wife and I were out there last March. HBO invited us out there, and they really gave us the royal treatment. It's unbelievable to walk down the main street. And I mean, it's just like stepping back in time. It's incredible. Well, I want to thank you for your time here, Marilee Rush. It's been fantastic talking to you. I badgered you until you came down here, and then you kind of opened up, and it wasn't that much of an ordeal, I don't think.
Oh, no, I love just, you know, you just, like I say, ask me a question, and I'll just talk forever.
You're just like Bobby. Well, that's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Now,
good
how
luck.
Exactly did you hurt your foot?
Fell through a ceiling.
Through a ceiling? Wow.
Fell through a ceiling.
That's no good.
Yeah. Coffee landed, bowl. Crushed my heel joint.
Ouch.
Yeah. So.
Van is ready for
okay.
You. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marilee.
And that was Marilee Rush. And, when I think back that I almost didn't get the interview with her because, as she just mentioned, her foot was hurt. And where I was doing the interviews for the Cool Deadwood Nights was actually downstairs in the Bullock Hotel. I know it's Bullock in the show, Seth Bullock, but here in Deadwood we call it Bullock. I don't know why. But anyway, at first when I asked her if she could do an interview with me, one of these bodyguard dudes goes, well, I don't think she can make it down the stairs like that. She's got a bad foot and everything, you know. So I thought, well, rats, you know, I'd really like to talk to her. And then I'm sitting down there just kind of biding my time until the band is over. And I look and I see her come hobbling down the stairs there. So Wow, I really appreciated her being so friendly and being so nice. Next up, we have my son Alex, and as I mentioned, this will be our final segment of the Mount Moriah Sound Seeing Tour. So I hope you've been following along for all these many podcasts, 6 months worth now pretty much of podcasts. And the photo album there on realdeadwoodpodcast.com, the Mount Moriah photo album. I've added, added pictures of the graves every podcast, and so the thing gets getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I still have a few more to add of what Alex talks about today, but once I add those, that's going to be it. You're going to have pretty much a full picture of the really important things to see at Mount Moriah Cemetery. So here we go with Alex.
So over here we have George V. Ayers, who is a Nebraska native who migrated first to Cheyenne, Wyoming, where he and a group of gold seekers kind of met up, and they decided that they were going to come here into the Black Hills gold camps in search of gold. But after 17 days of only being here, 10 of which it snowed, George and his friends arrived finally in Custer, but he actually got sick when he came into Deadwood and had to return to Custer to recover. He returned to Deadwood in 1876 to work in a hardware store, and by 1909, he had become the sole owner of the hardware store that still actually bears his name. Ayers was instrumental in the development of the first good road system here in Deadwood and upgraded the life in general for the population. Also, what was kind of interesting about George Ayers was that he had kind of a Mark Twain sense of humor. He was quoted as saying, "Just let the ruffians alone and they will kill each other off." So down over here we have Freeman Knowles, who was a congressman, an attorney, a Civil War veteran, and a big-time socialist here in town. He actually published a magazine called The Lantern, which was the socialist weekly magazine / newspaper. He actually served on numerous jail terms for his editorials, which usually defended the miners' union. And at one point, he was jailed for writing about abortion, which even today is kind of a risque subject, as it was back in the early 1900s. Knowles was a vocal champion of the underdog and was never questioned for his courage or for where he stood on a particular subject. He actually underwent surgery in early 1910 and died in April of that year. After his death, socialism was short-lived as a political force in Lawrence County here. Next down over here, we have Richard Gibson Anderson. Anderson was noted as a mining engineer and surveyor who had a brilliant future ahead of him in the Black Hills. He was rendered insane and taken to the hospital, though, where he attempted to commit suicide. His first effort was unsuccessful. However, later in the evening, he succeeded in mortally wounding himself with a screw hook taken from the wall of his room. Richard Anderson was included in the guide primarily because of the ornate scrollwork on his tombstone. Now, just over here, we have Harris Franklin, or Harris Finkelstein, as he was known early on. He was born into a Jewish family in 1849, and most people think that he was born in Germany, but some believe that he was born in Poland. Now, he migrated to the United States in 1866 and settled in New York, where he worked as a peddler. And at some point, the family changed their last name to Franklin so that he wouldn't be discriminated against for being a Jew. He married Anna Steiner in January of 1870, and they had their only child, Nathan, who was born that following December. Obviously, word of the gold rush here in the Black Hills must have appealed to Franklin, because he arrived here in Deadwood in 1877, and the prospects of the growing mining community must have left their impression on him, because he established a store here in Deadwood the following year. Then in 1879, Meyer Gottstein invited Franklin to a liquor business that would be located on Main Street. Now, Franklin was encouraged by this opportunity to establish a successful business, so he moved his wife and son to Deadwood in 1879. On September 26th of that year, what began as a small fire at the Sherman Street Bakery resulted in a major, major fire that wiped out Deadwood's entire business district, including Gottstein and Franklin's liquor store. It was reported that Franklin was left $20,000 in debt. Now, Franklin and his partner rebounded from this disaster and constructed a two-story brick building on Main Street soon after the fire. And while his liquor business continued to prosper, Franklin began to diversify his interests. He and another partner formed the Franklin Cattle Company, and he eventually became one of the most successful cattlemen in the region, and at one point owned a reported 45,000 head. In addition to cattle, Franklin invested in the Golden Reward Mining Company in 1887. By the turn of the century, Harris Franklin had amassed a fortune, and as an officer of the Deadwood Hotel Company, Franklin offered a dollar-for-dollar match of any contribution made to the construction of a hotel. On June 4th, which was in 1903, when the four-story brick and stone hotel at 700 Main Street opened for business, stockholders named it the Franklin Hotel after the man who was kind of instrumental in its financing. The hotel offered all the modern necessities of the day, including telephone in every room, a cigar store, a newsstand, a barbershop, a buffet, and a restaurant. During the 1890s, when the Franklin's fortunes began to rise, Anna spent much of her time overseeing the building of a home that kind of properly reflected the family's wealth and status in Deadwood. Their home was eventually owned by W.E. Adams and became known as the Adams House Museum, which is located just down the street from here. After recurring health problems, Anna Franklin died of a heart condition in 1902. And according to the Deadwood Daily Pioneer Times, Anna's body was returned to Deadwood and her casket reposed in the center of the main parlor of her home. Former mayor and friend Saul Starr read a portion of the Jewish burial service, and Anna was buried at Mount Moriah Cemetery in the Hebrew Hill section, where Harris erected what is still considered the largest tombstone ever to be placed in the cemetery. Now, following Anna's death, son Nathan and his wife Ada and daughter Mildred moved to his parents' mansion. And since Harris was traveling more frequently as his business ventures in banking, cattling, and mining continued to grow, he relied on his son's family to oversee the care of the house. 3 years later, Harris married Sadie Rohr from Atlantic City, New Jersey, and although Harris indicated he and Sadie planned to live in Deadwood, the couple changed their minds and Harris sold his home to Nathan for a single dollar in 1905. Harris and Sadie eventually settled in New York City, where Harris died of pneumonia at the age of 75, and his ashes were returned to Deadwood and buried next to his first wife at Mount Moriah Cemetery.
And we bid a fond farewell to Alex Kopko. He's gotten quite a bit of fan mail, actually, from people all around the world, and I think he does a fantastic job, and maybe I'll enlist him in the future to describe some more things here around town, but that's it for our Mount Moriah Soundseeing Tour. And now we have the Griffiths, Tom and Nyla, who run TDG. Tom is TDG, Tom D. Griffith. And they are an ad agency and public relations firm here in Deadwood. And as I mentioned a couple times already now, Nyla is a city commissioner. So we're probably going to have a good 3 or 4, maybe even 5 snips of the interview I did with them. And we'll be talking about a number of subjects, what all there is to do in Deadwood, what all there is to do in the Black Hills. We will touch a little bit on city government and her role in the city government. And so lots of interesting local stuff. So let's kick it off right now with Tom and Nyla. On the Real Deadwood podcast, my guests right now are Tom and Nyla Griffith. And they are the principals, you might say, of TDG Communications, which is the ad agency, promotional agency, public relations firm, communications.
Website gurus.
Website gurus. There you go.
Media relations.
Media relations. You betcha. For the city of Deadwood. Plus, Nyla is
a Deadwood City Commissioner.
So, we're going to talk a little bit today about their promotional efforts for the city of Deadwood. Also, they recently acquired the Deadwood Magazine. Now, how many years had that been in production before you guys got your...
Actually, since 1991, Paul, when Rena Webb founded it.
Okay, so that's...
14 years.
Okay. Now, you guys, double the circulation since
Well,
you got it,
yeah, and that wasn't too tough. You know, Rena had been ill for a while, and so she hadn't put a lot of effort into the magazine for several months. And it was really easy to take things to the next level because there were just a lot of things that we could do with it. And so we doubled subscriptions in a very short period of time.
Wow. I just got an email from a guy who said, I love your podcast. I always come to Deadwood when I come to the Sturgis Rally, and I subscribe to the Deadwood Magazine.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's amazing with a podcast like this how many people were picking up on the internet.
Well, 50 countries.
Yeah.
Over 50 countries. Every country in Europe, big in Scandinavia. I actually got an email from Australia from a guy. He said, You should do something in Australia. They love you here.
Well, we actually have a subscription, a paid subscription in Australia.
Wow, that's
and really awesome. And yeah. Not so long ago, I had a two page feature on Deadwood in the New Zealand Herald, the largest newspaper in that country.
I get a lot from Christchurch, New Zealand.
It's the major city, and that's where that newspaper actually is located. But anybody interested can go to deadwoodmagazine.com, sign on, check it out, and look at some past issues.
Well, and it's a great resource because people want to know about Deadwood. And
I tell you, the unusual thing about Deadwood is that it's located in an area that's roughly the size of Delaware. I mean, you really have a million acres. And in that space are remarkable features, Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse and the Bison Herds in Custer State Park. But Deadwood really harkens back to a time long ago when things were still a little wild, and I think they're still a little wild here, and obviously so is the HBO program.
Yep. Well, and I've heard the Black Hills described as the pocket Rockies, that it's like you can do just about anything you can there, but it's small enough to fit it in your pocket or whatever.
Well, they're really intimate mountains. Yeah. You can get into them. You know, the Rockies are sometimes imposing, imposing that and you can't get into them. These are really intimate mountains that you can walk creek carved canyons and walk through ponderosa pine forests. And, you know, I do a lot of traveling in the Black Hills, and the people we run into are slightly unusual in a lot of cases. But what I enjoy most is being out on the road and seeing all the wildlife. Yeah. This is still a place where you can see deer and wild turkey and buffalo.
Wait, Tom calls the turkey.
Actually do, yeah.
What do
he's
you call
very
him?
Good.
Damn,
no, he
I call him in.
He calls him right into the yard.
Yeah, I was calling him one night with Aaron Tippin, who a country music star, in our backyard where we were playing bocce ball out there with some big glasses of wine.
And sorry, Aaron, you are not near as good as Tom.
Well, anyway, we had a ball.
That's part of the appeal of the Sturgis Rally is people that want to ride through the hills and see the wildlife. And then, of course, in the wintertime, we have the snowmobile trails, and it's the same deal. Right. You're back there in the woods and off-roading, but on groomed trails, you know. And so, there's something to do here all year round.
Well,
I've been on those trails, and you don't see another person all day long.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it's an intimate place where you can feel familiar. You don't have to feel like you're lost. Like in the Rocky Mountains, you have the opportunity of really getting lost.
Yeah.
Where in the Black Hills, you don't have to worry about that, but yet you can truly be alone and you know, at one with nature. And I want to comment. You talked about how Deadwood seems to attract the unusual
people, yeah.
And I cannot tell you how many characters and how I have lived that every day, that their characters are so attracted to Deadwood. 100 years ago or today, it doesn't make any difference. We have as many characters here today as we did 100 years ago.
And we certainly find most of those in city government, right?
Thanks,
well,
Tom.
Well, I'm going to be bringing a lot of those people to my listeners in that 5 years up till now, being the webmaster at Black Hills State, I've been an office person during the summer, 7 to 4. But now I'm going back to full-time teaching, which means I will, after July 1st, have my summers free. Number one, I get to sleep in.
Good
Number
for
two,
you.
I'll have my little recorder in hand, and I'll be out on the streets doing man-on-the-street interviews, person-on-the-street interviews. I shouldn't be sexist here. Being on the street interviews, when you're talking about unusual people, it's you're like, huh. You know, why do you come to Deadwood? What's your favorite thing? What do you like the best? Where are you from? Me too.
Hey, Paul, from a marketing standpoint,
there you go.
We call those intercept studies.
Mm-hmm.
And when Nyla and I began marketing Deadwood more than a dozen years ago, we found that this town attracted a great number of people who had never been here before. As many people have never been to South Dakota, it's in the middle of America.
Well, some people don't even know there is a real Deadwood. I'm sure the people in Hong Kong and in New Zealand that are watching the TV show, they think it existed at one point, but they think it's a ghost town, or it went by the wayside, or it's, you know, whatever. And that's part of the reason for the podcast is, oh, yeah, there really is a Deadwood.
And it's real. Yeah. You know, this isn't a replicated historic town.
That's right.
This is a town that's been here for more than a century in an area that was the last in America to be mapped when the Custer Expedition came through in 1874. But from a marketing standpoint, you said, what do you enjoy most?
Yep.
Well, when a dozen years ago, we took bus tours coming in out of Canada, and we'd grab 10 or 11 of them off a bus who had never been to Deadwood before,
uh-huh.
and we find out why they came, what they expected to spend, what they'd enjoy most, and captured all this demographic information.
Right.
What we found 3 days later at the end of their trip, when we went back and interviewed them, was that things changed, and they came here for gaming and uh-huh. scenery and history. 3 days later, when we interviewed them, what they enjoyed most was history, scenery, and gaming. And this was before gaming proliferated in America. So it was a very significant finding. And what happened then is you saw walking tours and interpretive signage and all of these things that allowed people to understand what Deadwood's all about. And today, what we find is people are coming here for history. Because yeah. it's real. And
cultural tourism,
you can go for gaming anywhere in America.
Yes.
I mean, except for Hawaii, Utah, and Wyoming, virtually everybody in America has gaming within 150 yep. miles mm-hmm. of them.
So that's not unusual
right. anymore. What is unusual and what's real is Deadwood's history.
And there's some fun talk with Tom and Nyla, and we'll be hearing some more from them the next couple episodes, their involvement with Big and Rich, and Big and Rich's involvement with the town of Deadwood, and some more about what there is to see here, and also some city government from Nyla. Right now, I've got some exciting news, and that news is that we've got a winner in our contest to win the HBO Deadwood mug. Now, those of you that are regular listeners to the Real Deadwood podcast know that for the month of May, we have been running a contest to win an HBO Deadwood mug from the hair and makeup departments, the Emmy award-winning hair and makeup departments. Every year, John Rizzo from the makeup department puts together a little mug design, and they make these mugs up and hand them out. They have them, the employees and crew members themselves have them, and then they give them to all their friends. And so he sent us a bunch of those from Los Angeles, from Santa Clarita, actually. And so I have three of those. So for the first one has been awarded, and our winner's name is Diana. D-A-I is how she signs her email. I'm not sure if that's her last name or if that's just her nickname or what. Diana Dye, possibly, or Day. But I have emailed her and told her that she's the lucky winner. All she has to do is email me her address, and I'll be shipping out the first of the three mugs to her. So now don't forget, we will have another mug here for June, and then we'll have another one for July. Now, how can you win this fabulous Deadwood mug? And by the way, you can see the mug on the realdeadwoodpodcast.com website. Just click the contest link that you see on the buttons there, and you'll be able to see that. So here's how it works. We're trying to spread the word on the Real Deadwood podcast and get the word out to as many people as possible. And one way to do that is to be get ranked relatively highly on some of the podcast directories. And so one of the biggest ones is Podcast Alley. And so the way that you can enter the contest is you click on the Real Deadwood podcast main page in the upper right-hand corner, the link that says Vote for the Real Deadwood Podcast on Podcast Alley. Once you click that, you go to the Podcast Alley website, and in order to make sure that real humans are voting and not automated programs that go in and kind of stuff the ballot box, they require you to respond to an email, and that way nobody's cheating. So you have to give an email address. They will send you an email to that address, and in the email there will be a link to click on to verify that you are indeed a real human, and that will make your vote official. Now, once you click the link, of course, that puts the vote there for the Real Deadwood podcast, but now what you need to do to enter the contest is to forward that email to me to realdeadwoodpodcast@gmail.com. Now, all these instructions are on the contest page on the Real Deadwood podcast website. So just go ahead and click the contest button that you see on the left-hand side of the page, and you'll see pictures of the mug, and you'll see the rules for the contest. So make sure you enter and do that right away. Now, as I said, we're going to have, because Podcast Alley lets you vote once every month, and I hope you get in the habit of voting for the Real Deadwood podcast once a month, whether there's a contest or not, that would just be a great thing. But so we're going to have another mug, the second mug here for the month of June for voting, and then we'll have the third one for the month of July. Now it's time for some listener email. Our first email today is from Eric W. Stein, and he says, "Just found your website today. Deadwood, the city, is always one of my favorite stops when I take my Sturgis trek." And of course, Sturgis is the town 12 miles away from here that hosts a huge motorcycle rally every August. We have as many as 400,000 people, which is more than half the population of the entire state. He goes on to say, "I received the Deadwood magazine, and I am looking forward to visiting again this August. Love your podcast site." And again, that's Eric W. Stein from Santa Rosa, California. And this is the email that I mentioned to Tom and Nyla during the interview. And, of course, they are the publishers of Deadwood magazine. Okay, our next email is from Howard Ulep, U-L-E-P. And he says, "Hello, I am a big Deadwood fan and did an iTunes search, and so glad I found your podcast. Great work. And I appreciate you and your family's knowledge. Thanks." So thank you, Howard, for the nice email. Next up, we have a message from Robert Dean, and he says, "First, let me say I love the podcast. Wish they were more frequent. Just can't get enough. Thanks, and keep up the good work. P.S. I think your son has done a great job with his portion of the program. Take care." And I think Alex has done a fantastic job. He's gotten quite a few good comments in some of these emails. He will not be a tour guide at Mount Moriah this summer. He actually has a job that he thinks he's going to enjoy a little bit more, and that is working at Kevin Costner's casino, the one that Kevin Costner owns here in Deadwood called the Midnight Star. And he's going to be working with some of the chefs, actually, at the top-rated restaurant in the entire state of South Dakota, which is called Jake's, which is on the top floor of the Midnight Star. So hopefully I'll be bringing Alex back at some point in the future to do some more soundseeing tours. Our next email is from a lady named Leia Burns, L-E-I-A. I guess that's kind of like Princess Leia, right, from Star Wars. Burns. And she says, "Hi, can you do any podcast or anything with Brad Dourif? I'm a really big fan." So am I. In fact, on my MySpace page, they ask you, who would you like to meet? And he's there in my list. Well, I'll tell you, I recently did an interview with another one of the background actors. Of course, in the last episode, episode 13, is an interview with a couple of the Gem Girls who are background actors. And actually, I've done interviews with three more of the background actors. This time it's some guys. And the interviews were based on, you know, too bad Deadwood is canceled, and what does that mean for people who are background actors? Well, of course, now it's been announced that Deadwood isn't canceled, and that there will be this, you know, these movies and everything. So I can't very well put those interviews out there on that particular subject matter. But they did talk about what the background actors do and how they came to the show individually. So at some point I will include those parts of the interview. But one of the guys I talked to, his name is Peter Oliphant, and he is not related to Timothy Oliphant, who plays Seth Bullock. In fact, his name is spelled differently than Tim Oliphant's. He's actually a computer geek like me, and he's a programmer, and he designs video games, and he had been a child actor way back in the day, and then got into computers and everything. But the way he got on Deadwood was he needed some extra cash, and he is friends with Brad Dourif, who, of course, plays Doc Cochran on the HBO Deadwood show. So he called Brad Dourif, and in their conversation, Brad said, "You know what? I can get you a job on this show that I'm on." So at the end of my interview with Peter Oliphant, I said, "So you're buddies with Brad Dourif, huh? Do you think you could give him a call and see if he'd want to come on the show?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I'll see if he wants to do it." So that would be pretty awesome if we can get Brad Dourif on the show. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that one. And our final email says, this is from Joe Pearson, and it says, "I want you to know that your podcast is awesome. What a great source of info and just plain fun. It is very easy to see that you enjoy the cast, put a lot of time and work into it." Cast meaning the podcast. "We'll be heading your way in a few weeks, around 8th of June, and I'm very excited to see the sights of the area. Have not been there since I was a kid, which was, let's say, more than a few years ago. Anyway, keep up the good work. Your podcasts are so much fun. Take care. Joe Pearson, Omaha, Nebraska." So don't forget, I really would like the Real Deadwood podcast to sort of be a two-way street. Instead of me just putting stuff out there for you to listen to, I really would appreciate it to kind of be a two-way dialogue here so that you can communicate back to me. There are a number of different ways to do that, and one of those is to send me an email to realdeadwoodpodcast@gmail.com. There's also a feedback page on the realdeadwoodpodcast.com website. Again, it's one of those buttons over there on the left. Just click the feedback button, and there's a form there that you can just go ahead, and there's a box that you can put your message into, hit submit, and the message will come directly to me. Another way that you can participate and kind of talk back to the Real Deadwood podcast is you can send me a Skype voicemail. Now, Skype is a free program that you can download. It's owned by eBay, actually. It's at Skype.com, and it allows you to talk long distance from computer to computer for free. And all you have to do after you download it and install it would be to search the contacts for Real Deadwood Podcast. And then you can just go ahead and you can leave up to a 10-minute message, which means that you could basically be a guest on my show and just go ahead and speak your mind for a good 10 minutes. And if it's something that I can use on the show here, I will certainly put it in. Now, the third way that you can participate with the Real Deadwood Podcast is, again, on the main page there at realdeadwoodpodcast.com. Underneath the link that says Vote for the Real Deadwood Podcast at Podcast Alley, there's a link that says Tell Us What You Think in our listener survey. And that would be a great way for you to tell me what you think about the show and to make your ideas and comments known. So just click that link, and you can take that survey and let me know what you think. Now, don't forget, as I mentioned earlier, make sure you go back. If you're new to the Real Deadwood podcast, this might be, say, your first episode that you've heard. Make sure you go back and listen to all the earlier episodes of the Real Deadwood podcast and listen to all the interviews, listen to all the music, and enjoy the fun that we have with the HBO Deadwood actors and with the various guests that I have, musical guests that have performed at concerts here in Deadwood, and also a little bit about the town of Deadwood itself. Now, the easiest way to do all that would be to subscribe to the Real Deadwood podcast. And once you do that, the every time a new episode comes out, it will be delivered to your computer automatically, just like somebody throwing the newspaper on your front steps. And again, there's those buttons there on the main website page. Click the subscribe button, and it'll tell you just a bunch of different ways. Probably the easiest way to subscribe is you can get a notice in your email that tells you when there's a new episode. Also, you can subscribe through iTunes. So all the instructions for that are on the subscribe button at realdeadwoodpodcast.com. And finally, before we wrap up this episode of the Real Deadwood Podcast, I'd like to acknowledge some bloggers out there who have linked to the Real Deadwood Podcast from their blogs. The first one is Angela Gunn, who has a blog at USA Today. It's called the USA Today Tech Space blog, and that's at blogs.usatoday.com/techspace. Now, if this is hard for you to follow these little links, I do have all the links on the Real Deadwood Podcast links page. There's a section there that lists all the blogs that have linked to the Real Deadwood Podcast, so you'll be able to check out Angela Gunn's blog and read some of her posts and stuff at USA Today. Also, there's a blog called Heinz8695 from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that address is heinz8695.blogspot.com. And there was a posting about Deadwood possibly being canceled, and there's a nice link to the Real Deadwood podcast there. And finally, Janice at Deadwood South Dakota blog, and that's deadwood-sd.blogspot.com. And she's got a nice link there to the Real Deadwood podcast as well. So thank you very much for all those links, and I really do appreciate it. Thanks so much for being with me today on the Real Deadwood podcast. Make sure you're with us next time, and make sure you enter the contest to win the fantastic HBO Deadwood mug, direct from John Rizzo and the makeup department at HBO Deadwood. Now, if you don't have your DVDs yet for Season 2, or Season 1 for that matter, there are links on the realdeadwoodpodcast.com that will take you to amazon.com and let you buy those DVDs. Actually, I think you make about $2 if you buy those DVDs through the Real Deadwood Podcast website. So it's not a lot of money, but you know what? Every little bit helps. So go ahead and click those links if you don't have the DVDs yet. The music you're hearing right now is from an album I did quite a long time ago of kind of new age music, instrumental music that I composed all on keyboards, actually. And the computer makes it be all these different instruments that you're hearing, the flutes and the drums and the piano and whatnot. This tune by itself can be bought at iTunes, or the entire album, which is called Black Hills Gold, can be bought there too. And guess what? Yes, there are links for that too on the Real Deadwood Podcast website. So from the Real Deadwood in the Black Hills of South Dakota, this is Paul Dennis wishing you all the best.